Greetings and good morning to you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good to be in the house of the Lord and praise God. How about we all turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. If you please turn with me to book of Revelation and chapter 2. And we shall read from verse 1 to verse 7. If you could read, I'll read verse 1, and if you could read verse 2, we'll read vice versa together, meditating from book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know their labor, their patience, and how thou hast cast the bearish part evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and thou not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for thy name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, thou sighest, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But thou hast of the Galatians, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the ancient word. Lord, the word is stored even for today. We pray thee, O Lord, that you may bless this word, this portion, and thy blessing upon thy servant, that you may divide the word in simplicity and clarity and speak to our hearts. Bless every soul which hear thy word. And help, Lord, we may run this race. We honor your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were meditating on the second church of the church of Smyrna. And going through the messages through the churches, though I shared the second church was burdened on the key theme of the second church of the Smyrna was to be faithful till death. However, when we read through Book of Revelation from the messages given to the seven churches, as I shared with you previously, these seven churches, as you see in the map, called Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey as of today. You know, if you look at the maps today, you will see the map like Ephesus just down there. It's still known as the town. I'll give you a bit of a history about Ephesus. It's known as E-F-E-S-U-S as of today. So they all existed. They all were alive as we read this particular portion. We're reading an account. And I noted if Apostle John was hovered approximately 95 A.D. was when Revelation is written. So he's in late 80s. One of the last apostle of 12 disciples who not only witnessed Lord Jesus on planet Earth, as he writes in 1 John, who touched, who's seen. He not only witnessed in Acts, as you see, ascending to the Lord, the risen Lord. He also in Revelation had the privilege to taken up in the Spirit and seeing the glory, the power, the majesty. Even as we worship together, the 24 elders worship, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And the messages were given as we read, as we're reading Revelation chapter we need to understand that John is also himself is going through significant trial and tribulation. If you see chapter 1 verse 9, you see I'm a fellow brother going through in tribulation. So he is in Patmos, just down a few miles from Ephesus. As you see, Ephesus is just on the western border of modern Turkey, Asia Minor. He's on a rocky mountain, but he's rich in the Lord. He's going closer to the Lord. And he's writing these messages, not only for Ephesus, even for churches today. even for Redeemed Community Church. May the Lord speak to our hearts. As we open Revelation chapter 2, you see the introduction. For every church, we know the Lord's name. As you see, as we were reading in Smyrna, we read, I am He, the first and the last, which was dead and was alive. There are many names of God we meditated last time. The Word of God, the bright and morning star. You know, all, when you look at this Ephesians, you see in verse 1, these things say the one who hold it, the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. As you read chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, you see the very first glimpse of Apostle John when he took him up to heaven. He saw the Lord in the midst of seven candlesticks. And what does the seven candlesticks remind of? You have it in verse 20. They are seven churches. The seven stars he holds are the messengers of the churches, the angels of the elders, the shepherds of the churches. So you would have at least made seven copies of Book of Revelation given to seven churches. And you know, you see about churches like Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. We do hear about these churches even before we read about Revelation. And one of them is Ephesians. We do read about, we have a great history of the church of Ephesians. We have a history of how it began. We have a glimpse of the Bible does give a history, an account of the periodic times. Now, firstly, these churches existed. They were real churches and the message was given. But also, when we look back 2,000 years later, as we're looking back, these churches also, many scholars reveal, they have a prophetical era of the message, the prophetical times the church is leading. So I wouldn't be going through in detail to it, but we are looking at an apostolic time. The times we're looking at is about 30 to 180. When we're looking at John, we saw Smyrna as a persecuted church. We have a Roman Catholic times, and we know Philadelphia missionary church, and as we go Laodicea, you know, the apostate church. Maybe I'll dwell with this subject sometime later. But I'd like to bring you a picture. There is a prophetical times as well. So these are all in order when you look at seven churches. So when we look at apostolic church, I'd like to begin to give you a bit of history. When the Lord's message says, I know thy labor, I know where thou hast fallen from. There's something they had, they have left. The key message is in verse 4, thou hast left thy first love. So every church has a commendation, the positives. Every church has been reminded about rewards. Of seven churches, five churches have rebukes. And there are only two churches who do not have rebukes or negative. And one of them we read was Smyrna last time, and the other one is Philadelphia. But even here, as we see, one of the great church in doctrinally sound, the Word of God, as we read chapter 2, but yet the key message, as even this morning we heard, was they had left their first love. In order to understand who these Ephesians were, I'd like to take you back about 40 years before. You know, we have a history. If you turn with me to Book of Acts, chapter 18. There are three chapters from chapter 19, 18, and 20. Of Acts chapter gives you a history of Paul's journey of how the church began. And we all know about Aquila and Priscilla, right? They were a great couple. And what were their occupation? Same occupation as Apostle Paul. They were tent makers, right? So in God's hand, God's plan, Apostle Paul, as you just open Acts chapter 18, he meets them at Corinth. You know, the map you're looking at here is a third mission journey. But when I'm reading this one, it's a second mission. I'm going through the second mission. How many missions Apostle Paul had? Three missions, right? And I'd like to keep one era of 52 AD in your mind. So when you read Acts chapter 18 and verse 19, you're looking at 52 AD. AD means after death. 52 AD is the time as you look, because the second mission journey of Apostle Paul is approximately in 52 AD. So he goes to this place called, in verse 19, they came to Ephesus. He left them, he left Aquila and Priscilla there. And what does Apostle Paul do every time he goes? He goes to us, a Jewish synagogue. He goes and proclaims to them that Jesus whom you crucified, he was the Messiah. And most often, he has been thrown out of the synagogue, and then he goes to Gentiles. It's believed, as you read West chapter 19, before that, it was about 3 months he stays in, 3 months approximately, in the second mission journey in 52 AD. What he does is he leaves Aquila and Priscilla. When we say the church began ministering, there was no community halls, there's no Christian buildings there. Remember, they even don't have New Testament books of 66 books. They have the Torah. By now, in 52 AD, I believe there are a few letters, Gospel of Mark, probably there around that time. Galatians came about 55 AD. We do not know how much they had, but they would gather and study the Word of God. As you come in chapter 18, verse 24 to 28, please have a read through later. You know about Apollos? Have you heard of Apollos? An eloquent man. He was learned. He knew about John the Baptist. But when he came and preached, Aquila and Priscilla listened to Apollos. He did not know about Lord Jesus. So what did they do? They invited him home and they taught him about Lord Jesus. And Apollos became a great evangelist. So Aquila Priscilla became a great instrument, the foundation for the church at Ephesus. What was the time again? 52 AD. Now as you come to Acts chapter 19, you're looking at the third mission journey of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, the Gospel of the Acts is written by Luke, and he is giving an account of what has occurred. And as you come to verse 9 of chapter 9, you see, and he went there and he continued in the space of verse 10, 2 years. In verse 19, the school of one Tyrannus. So day after day, time after time, he visited homes. Look at the labor of Aquila, Priscilla, Apollos, now Apostle Paul. You know where was the greatest time Apostle Paul spent? Of all the cities he went, where do you think? It was at Ephesus. It was not 2 years, it was 3 years. 2 years here is the account of at the school he's been teaching. And I would like to bring to your attention, as you read in verse 12 of chapter 19, here where in this particular town, where great miracles happens, when Apostle Paul had even a handkerchief or an apron was touched, people got healed. If you read verse 20, what does it say? There, as it there touched the handkerchief and apron, the diseases departed from them and evil spirits went out of them. Remember, these were heathen city. When you read about Ephesians, they were a big city. I was reading about a history. When we're reading this, there were about 250,000 people live in the city. And as you see in verse 17 of chapter 18, many called upon the name of the Lord, and they believed, verse 18, and showed their deeds. Verse 19 of chapter 19, many of them also used curious arts, books, their books together, and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I'd like to bring to your attention, this city was idol worshippers. They were had magic crafts, they had books, witchcrafts, scrolls coming from nation of India. You know what is witchcraft is, you know what is magic craft is. I'd like to share with you some pictures of these are the, if you read chapter 19 of 27, you see the the great goddess Diana should be despised and magnified. The Ephesians was one of the seven wonders of the world at that time. It was the capital, it was not a small city, it was a capital city of Asia Minor. 250,000 people lived. And I would like to bring to your attention, what were they doing? They were worshipping idols, magic craft, books. This is when you relate Ephesians chapter 2, what brother was saying. You were called out of darkness to marvelous light. I can relate to that. You can relate to that. Ephesians can relate to that. They burned their books. When they came to know the Lord, what did they do? They gave up what was precious to them, right? That was all precious to them. And today you see the city is ruined. It has, these are some of the pictures of Ephesians, it's called. You know, they're all, it's inhabited right now. And this is where you see some of the pictures of Ephesians. So this was a city where had the privilege of a great heritage, right? You're looking at Aquila, Priscilla, Apollos. You hear about, in the last chapter of Ephesians, Tychicus. Hard to pronounce his name. Tychicus, you see, he was also very instrumental in this church. So as we go back to, you know, looking at this particular portion, I'd like to bring to your attention of Acts chapter 20. In verse 31, Acts chapter 20. So this is the third mission journey. I mentioned to you how many years Apostle Paul spent? 3 years. And great revival happened. If you have time, read Acts chapter 18, 19, 20. It's so much revival happened because they lost all the people who are selling books of magic, craft. They lost their business. There was a great riot in the city. But Paul was not hurt. You read it all that in chapter 19, and here comes the departure of Apostle Paul spending 3 years. And when we read chapter 18, we also read one verse in verse 20, the word of God prevailed. Remember, you read the word of God prevailed. What was they doing? They were preaching the word day and night. One of the things, brothers and sisters, the church is reminded today is there's nothing, the primary purpose we can build is upon the word of God. If the word of God prevails, we are rooted and grounded in the word of God, we will be strengthened. That is the primary focus should be the of the church. That's what they did. They preached the apostle doctrines, they built the word of God. We also read in Acts chapter 10, 18 and 20, we see the verse 10 said, the word of Lord Jesus, both to Jews and Greeks at the last part of the verse. So it spread to various parts of the nation of Europe. Today Europe is a Christian country because of the accounts you're reading what people did. It started with the door of Lydia, who met at the door, at the tree, and today is Europe, a blessed nation. Many generations have passed. But unfortunately, Ephesus, we don't see the church which was there today. But Smyrna, which we meditated last time, has become a great city called Izmir today, and there are many Christian churches still alive in these places. Now, we read Acts chapter 20 as we came. Verse 29 says, for I know this, after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I've covered no man's silver or gold. And there you see verse 36. When he had spoken these, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they wept sore and fell Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of the words that they shall see his face no more. This is the final departure of Apostle Paul, calling elders on his way back. And what did he commend? What should the church do? He commended to the word of God and to the grace of God. He also reminded them there will be false prophets. They will be who will take away the flock. Take heed. And so this is where we see the birth of Church of Ephesians as we're reading the historical place. Now in the context, they were the Lord, as we come back to, where do we see Ephesians next? So we saw 52 AD, the second mission, I had it on the map. It was about 54 to 57 AD. A year later, he went to Ephesians. And how many years he spent? 3 years, right? 3 years. Now, where do you think you see Ephesians next in the biblical history? We have a letter written to book of Ephesians. And if you'd like to know when this was written, it was about 4 years later after Apostle Paul left. You see about 61 to 62 AD, right? So 4 years later, we know how Ephesians church is. If you turn, open the book of Ephesians chapter 1, you see Paul greets with a great salutation, and the word used for Ephesians is to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's always great blessing. This is the word we all want to hear. Blessed and faithful servant. They were faithful in the work which began. Now when you look at 62 AD, how many years have passed since church began? 10 years, right? Approximately 10 years. And they have been faithful. And this is where Brother Sandeep was bringing the verse, Ephesians 2:8. You have been saved by grace through faith. He reminded the church in chapter 1, the magnificent word, you have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Here in the letter written to Ephesians, you don't see any condemnation or negativity, but he's encouraging the church. He's writing to the church. He's reminding how you are chosen, as brother reminded today, how you are chosen. In chapter 2, you can relate. Who were they? They were worshippers of idols. Most of you have come from, not from a Christian heritage, from Hinduism or other religions. You may be worshippers of idols, but God has delivered you from utter darkness, right? You can relate that verse. They were worshippers of dark things. The evil spirits came out of them. There was so much of evil in that city, but God had transformed them. And that's where you read in chapter 2 of Ephesians. He has quickened you when you are dead in trespasses. As you go in chapter 3 of Ephesians, you see he encourages them to know that Christ, verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, be rooted and grounded in love. He encouraged the church in this letter. Chapter 4, as you know, the key chapter, the church may be one. He reminded them, you've been washed by one blood. We all took part in the Lord's table. One thing you would remind is we were all washed by the same blood of Jesus Christ. We are the family of God. We have one faith, one baptism, one spirit. And as you read through chapter 4. Chapter 5 is a beautiful picture of the church, which we meditated a few months ago, of the husband and wife being a picture of church. And the chapter 6, he ended up with being a, in this world, you will have to wear the armor of God. The armor of God. Now as we look at Revelation chapter 2. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Now taking back. Now we saw 52 AD. We saw a bit of 54 to 57 AD. And we also saw about 62 AD where Ephesians is. Now when we read about Revelation chapter 2. When was Revelation written? Approximately 95 AD. Nearly 35 years have passed. Right? Today I was thinking about, when we Ephesians began, they were gathering at homes, right? They began, you read it in 1 Corinthians 16:19, it was Aquila and Priscilla's home, the church. They gathered at homes. There were no buildings. There were no, one generation had passed, right? I saw today Paul and Josh bringing all the chairs and putting together. The generations are passing, the new generation is coming. And what can we teach the next generation? What can we leave the church? As Apostle Paul reminded, the word of God. Hold on to the word of God, you know, and to the grace of God. This one thing, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And that's the message of Paul given to Ephesians. But now when we see to, what do we see in chapter 2? How is Ephesians church? We saw the commendation given by the Lord 35 years later, right? You see, read about a lot of good things, don't you? If you read Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, you see they were, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. They were a hard-working church, firstly, right? I see they were a hard-working church. Secondly, you see the word patience. They were persevering. They were a patient church. Thirdly, you see they were resisting sin. Because they were taught by the word of God, they knew what is good, what is evil. Fourthly, as you read, you see they were examining, they were able to discern false prophets. And they were enduring hardship. They were enduring hardship. I think when you look at all this in a resume, you feel so happy that what a great church, you know. Doctrinally sound, the word of God, able to discern what is good and evil, able to say no to false prophets. Great. But what do we see in chapter 4, verse 4? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. This is a reminder, brothers and sisters, for me and for you. We can be mechanical. We can be religious. We can be doing ministry, hard work, patience. We can do all that. But as brother reminded, if I have no love, I'm worth absolutely nothing. Love, God is love. The gospel is love. The church, the heart of the church should be of God's love. God is able to look at the hearts of Ephesians. God is able to look at my heart and your heart. If there is no love, I can do worship this morning. I can bring beautiful words. But if that words is just intellectual, it will not reach to my Heavenly Father. I can take part in the Lord's table. If I don't take part, remembering the love, it has no value. I mean, I do it ritually. We can become ritual. We can become methodical. It is a time in this light. I need to examine, you need to examine your hearts. When you look at what is first love, right? What is that when you look at Ephesians? I gave you a bit of history, who they were. They gave up everything, right? They gave up their precious books. They gave up their occupation. It so happened it reminded about Apostle Peter, right? How did Peter come to know, follow Lord Jesus? Firstly, you know, you don't have to open, you can read in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. He was just on the seashore catching the fish. He loved catching fish. He loved his job, we know that. And he had heard from his brother Andrew about Lord Jesus. What did he say? Come, follow me. And what did Peter do at that time? He throwed that net which was his job, right? He throwed it. There are times I've seen people giving up their profession to be follower of Lord Jesus Christ. They give up everything passionately. There are moments in my life, in your life, there was fire, that zeal, that passion to love the Lord, all my heart, to give up everything to follow Him. There are moments in my life I've gone so far with that zeal and passion. Ephesians were like that. So when we say you have left, they had it, right? They had it and they had fallen. We may have it, we had it, or you may have it right now. You may be a brother and sister who is so jealous right now. The Lord is telling, continue. Do not fall. Keep the fire. That's the song we sang. You know, Lord, you're beautiful. The writer sang, light that fire which burned bright and clear, right? You know, when you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, we read, if you have it, you could read it. We love him first because, why do we love him first? Because he first loved you, right? Time and time again, Brother Bob was bringing on the book of Galatians last time. He reminded us, we are here, each other, to stir up love from each other, right? And every time we need to bring ourselves to remembrance to stir up, every time we take part in the Lord's table, we remember he first loved us. And also there, 1 John write, how can you say you love God and you do not love your own brother and sister? Here we are, if we have to love God, this is my family, this is the world, the brothers and sisters in Christ. How can I say if I don't love them that I love God, right? That's what 1 John. And in John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 21, you see, John's Gospel 14, 21. Yeah. He that hath my commandments, keepeth them, he it is, loveth. Verse 23 says, if you love me, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Is his commandments burdensome? It's not, is it? In John 1 John, his commandments are not burdensome. There's only one commandment where the New Testament believers are asked. If you read Matthew's Gospel chapter 22 and verse 37, if you have it, you could read Matthew 22 verse 37. With all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. And Mark also adds, with all your strength. He alone should be the first love. This all comes to existence. It all comes to action when he is my first priority. There's a strong word in Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, verse 37. We read this. I shall read it for you. He that loveth the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. God is a God of peace. You know, as we read in the earlier chapter, verse 34, the Lord says, I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. God is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Nobody can bring peace without Jesus Christ with God. But brothers and sisters, following Jesus Christ, you may have trials with your family. You may be having a family who do not know the Lord. There is a loss. There's a cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, nothing should replace the Lord Jesus Christ. If in your heart you love anything more than the Lord, it is an idol, correct? Idol is not just an idol of Diana or art. Anything which replaces the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an idol to you and me. It could be your whatever you love, right? Even here the Lord is reminding, it could be your father and mother. The Lord teaches to honor thy father and mother. If you read about your husband and wife, the Lord teaches to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So the Lord is not against loving your husband and wife. What is the Lord reminding? Nothing should take the place of Lord. We sang this morning, you know, as the deer pants for the water. You alone, I love you, Lord, more than gold and silver. We sing that. More than gold and silver. Right? But practically at times, I may fail. But the Lord is reminding Ephesians that, who is your first love? Where were you? Remember, they had it. They were so jealous for the Lord. They were passionate for the Lord. And they had gone far. In the light of the word, you may have been very passionate at some stage, but you may have gone very far, right? Or you may be, in Luke's Gospel chapter 7, I like to bring Luke's Gospel chapter 7, and here you see Simon the tanner invites the Lord Jesus to the home, and suddenly a woman comes to the home. And as you read through from verse 44 to verse 40, what does the woman do? She weeps and weeps, and with her tears, she wipes the leg of the feet, she kisses the feet, she anoints with the oil, she's weeping in tears of repentance, of joy. And she's, as you see, is verse 40, Simon knows this woman was a sinful woman. And there you see, the Lord gave a parable in 41 to 42. A debtor gave one 500 and one 50, both were forgiven. Who is more having gratitude? Verse 47 says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loveth little. There are times in my life, it's not that here as you read, this woman understood how much she had been forgiven. It's not that we do not have number of sins, like my sins are less, or you know, other brothers is less. It is about the understanding, the attitude. How much was my sin? Numerous of sins, uncountable, which is shameful, wretched sinner as I was. When we are able to understand, when we are able to count what I have been delivered from hell, what is hell? Where is eternal fire? When we time and time again we remember, this woman remembered and worshipped, and they're here. The more we know how much we are forgiven, the more we know we will love God more, isn't it? That's one thing for sure. The more I know how much He has done for me, every day I could remember. That's why Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that liveth. The life now I live by faith, one who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I'd like to put a question as we read Ephesians. Why is it in a Christian life, a brother and sister who are passionate, we don't see a consistent life? Why? It may not be you, you may be having a consistent life. But why is it as we look back 35 years ago, a church which was vibrant, which had the deep, great men of God like Aquila, Priscilla, Apostle Paul, Apollos, Tichinus, and others who shared. And you know who was there? Apostle John, historical, also was at Ephesus. But yet you see, they had lost their first love. Right? I'd like to briefly bring to you, take you to a great man of God in Old Testament who lived. If you turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, please turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Here you see briefly the introduction of Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David. David had many sons, right? But you see, as you read verse 6, verse 5 of chapter 28, all of my sons, for the Lord had chosen as many of my sons, he had chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne. And he said to Solomon my son, he shall build a house. Firstly, Solomon was chosen by God. And David knew Solomon was chosen by God. As you come to verse 9, you see David admonished Solomon how to live, the choices you make. If you read chapter 28 verse 9, you see, and thou Solomon my son, know thou thy God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth the hearts and understanding of all the imagination and the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The words of King David to Solomon. The Lord searches the heart. Serve him with a perfect heart. Do not give up. Now when you look at Solomon's life, right? We all know here, many of you are scholars, have read the scriptures. I wouldn't take you a character study on Solomon. But how did he begin? Very passionate, very jealous for the Lord. As you just opened 1 Kings chapter 3, you see God ask him, what do you want, Solomon? He was very wise. What did he ask? Wisdom, right? He asked wisdom from God. And God just did not give him wisdom. He gave him wisdom. He gave him power. He gave him wealth. He gave him everything you can think of. And as you keep looking at Solomon's life, he continued in chapter 4 and 5 and 6 of 1 Kings, you see, he began to build the temple of God, right? He was not unfaithful for the calling. He began to build. And as you come in chapter 7 of 1 Kings, you see the temple, the glorious temple, the dedication. He's not only built the temple. When the temple was built, he experienced the power of God, the glory of God filled the temple. He had seen the power. He had seen the glory. He had a good heritage with King David training him. Yet, I'd like to turn with me, please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now you're looking at later part of Solomon's life. Verse chapter 11 verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall come in unto them. For surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. His wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. What a sad account of reading about a character. What turned him away? Wrong friendship, right? Strange, he loved many strange women. They were heathen. As you read through chapter 7, he not only abandoned God, he became a worshipper of idols. What a change personality. The word of God warns, brothers and sisters, remember, take heed. We need to look to the word of God. Hold on to the armor of God. You see few things in Solomon's life. He chose wrong friends. The choices you make in this life will have consequences, right? And he's lost his heart. They turned his heart away. I have myself witnessed, sadly, a family whom I knew in the Lord, whose heart was turned because they were married to a non-believer. Young people, I request you and take heed. Make sure the life partner you choose will be a godly person. Not just know the Lord, they love the Lord. They're passionate for the Lord. And as we read about Solomon's life, the heart was turned. Wrong choices, wrong friends. In pride, he gave up. In glory and power, he gave up. That's a reminder for all of us as we read through Solomon's life. In Psalm chapter 44 and verse 20 to 22, it says like this. If he had forgotten the name of God or spread out other hands to a foreign God, would God have discovered it, since he knew the secrets of the heart? Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We consider a sheep to be slaughtered. You read the Lord's message for King Asa. The eyes of the Lord goes to and fro, searching for the heart who is perfect towards him. God can search us the heart. God can look at the heart of Abraham when he was asked to give his only one whom he loved, Isaac. He was able to give. God was his first love. Where is my heart today, brothers and sisters? As the Word of God reminds in Ephesians, as we examine our hearts. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 11 onwards, I read, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, lest when thou hast eaten and thou art full, and thou hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when the herds and the flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land from Egypt." Verse 18. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may be established his covenant, which he swore unto the fathers." Brothers and sisters, as we look at this ancient word, the Lord reminds, remember, do not forsake the Lord. Guard your hearts. And Proverbs says, guard your hearts, out of it comes the issues of life. In fullness, in wealth, it's many times when you look at the old accounts, in the best of the times, we fail. When we are in abundance, when we are in prosperity, take heed. Guard yourself. As the Lord reminds, as we hear verse 14, when your heart is lifted up, right? In blessings we have pride. Pride goes before destruction, before. As we continue to remember these verses, three things as we come back to Ephesians. Please turn with me to Book of Revelation chapter 2. As we're looking at Book of Ephesians, church. You see verse 5. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlesticks out of the space, except thou repent." Three things I'd like to bring this morning as we take. Firstly, remember. Right? That was the verse, remember. There was a great man of God whom I had the privilege as a little young time in my town, who came to my town from Evangelical Union. He was working as he had nobody. You know how they come to town and they want to meet they go to colleges, and he was there about, you know, was younger than around Paul's age, and he was so passionate, and I did not know the Lord. He wanted to reach me, share the gospel to me. And after I knew the Lord, I continued to know him. His name was Brother Shankar Babu. He's now became the secretary of Karnataka of Evangelical Union. Now he's in Saudi Dubai, I believe, serving. And he was always passionate. He's lost his wife. He came from a Hindu background, but he was consistent. He did not waver in his knowing from 30 years. And I asked him, "What is that secret that you continue in this passion?" This was the same message he gave me. Remember. Remember, what do you remember? Remember first how you were caught. Time after time, you remember the time of your great salvation, or the word you heard, remember. And secondly, you remember the purpose of your call. Remember the purpose you're being called, right? Remember, God has a great purpose, not to harm you, an eternal hope. The purpose beyond I can share in a few words, the great purposes God has stored for you. Remember how you were called. Remember the purpose. Remember God has a future for you. Hear the word, the same word the Lord remembers is remember. Firstly, remember. Secondly, repent, right? Repent. If you have gone far from God, if you are like this church who may be methodological, being religious, doing all ministries with no love for God, it is a time to examine your hearts. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without love, you cannot touch God. Right? I cannot touch God without love. God is love. Everything I do has to be in love. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a heart full of praise. God is not interested in his sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Thirdly, firstly remember. Secondly, repent. Thirdly, restore. Restore to where you are. Come back. Come back to where you are. See, the messages of God is, it is not like a, it is like, I love you. You've forgotten my love. That is how the Lord is speaking. I love you, but you have forgotten my love. You're not having the fellowship I want to have with you. I don't see the priorities. I don't see the time. So let's remember. So this is a message given to the first church, the apostolic church. Here after 2,000 years ago, the message is same. Remember, repent, and return. And there is again a reward. God is the rewarder of faith. In chapter 7 as we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. Every church has been given a reward for their faith. Every believer will receive one gift. A true believer will receive one gift, which is eternal salvation, the gift of eternal life. But I believe every believer who has a measure of faith for their works as a believer, there will be other rewards in heaven. There will be rewards in heaven. And here we see the paradise. Where do we see the tree of life first? We read it in Genesis, right? The Genesis, there were two trees mentioned. The tree of life, the tree of good, knowledge and evil. That tree of life was taken out as the sin entered. None of us have access today for the tree of life, right? Where do we see tree of life again? If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. This is in the new heaven and new earth. And verse 1, and he showed me pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the secret of it, and on the either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded a fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were healing of the nation. The tree of life is a picture of Lord Jesus Christ himself. The tree of life is the picture of life eternal. Here we see he will give the fruits of the tree of life. Seasons of the season will enjoy the blessings. The greatest blessing of the tree of life is being with the Lord himself. One day, every believer has been promised to be a place with the Lord, to be with the Lord, where there is the Lord himself is the light, a place there is no sin. I want to go to heaven not because of golden streets or pearl. You and I want to go to heaven because we'll be with the Lord whom he loved us. We'll know more about the love. We'll know more about things which we do not understand. And we will have the access to the tree of life. There is a subject about Nicolaitans in this particular church. We will dwell with it with the other churches when we, God willing. But as we take part, as we close in, few things you can take. I can take. I can examine my heart and your heart. Is Christ, Lord Jesus, who loved you, gave himself for you, is he my first love? And remember, he loves you with everlasting love. He says, I love you. I want to have more fellowship with you. I want to have more time with you. And if you've gone far, repent and restore and return. Let's pray. Loving, gracious Father, we thank and praise you for giving us this morning, to reminding us of, from the psalmist, of the great love. And bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all the benefits. Lord, help us, Lord, that we may love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, because you loved us. We pray for dear brothers and sisters here, as we examine our hearts. If we have gone far from thee, Lord, let us repent and return and be restored. Because God is love. And we ask your blessing upon this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen.